Wednesday, February 23rd. When we woke up this morning, it was snowing, and it snowed all day, leaving a white ground cover, which makes usually totally brown Peking much more attractive. The president again had no schedule in the morning and worked here at the house. I spent some time with him going over general reports from home. I had talked to Ehrlichman and Connolly and Colson and gave him rundowns on their reports and developments at home. Nothing of any particular importance. For the afternoon session today, the president invited Joe to come to the guest house, and so the session was held here from 2 to 6. Once again, I went shopping for that entire period in a, at times, driving snowstorm. This time we went to some of the antique shop type places instead of the Friendship store, and it was very interesting, especially since it was in other parts of town where we had a chance to see more of the people. By now, the people seem to be more aware of us also, since the paper has carried major stories, as has Peking Radio, on the fact of our visit. And that they did yesterday, which has opened things up some, which may or may not make any difference in terms of any turnout for the president in the future. In any event, everything is apparently very tightly controlled. Tonight at the guest house, we had a delicious American dinner, which was very thoughtful of our host, but they had a fish course, delicious fried fish, and then a steak, a little filet, sort of tornados, with green beans, carrots, and fried potatoes, and an ice cream in a pastry for dessert. After dinner, we went to the gymnasium for the athletic exhibition, which also was very good. Again, we gathered for tea outside first, then we marched in while the 20,000 people in attendance clapped, and we returned their applause. Again, we were seated at an area with a counter in front of us with the teapots on it, and also wet towels, which were changed three or four times during the performance. The president seemed to enjoy the whole thing thoroughly, as did Joe. Fascinating in the pre-performance sessions, the way Joe is so relaxed and a great master of small talk, as he greets each guest and has various comments on a very personal basis for each one, or for most of them. Any that he hasn't shaken hands with before we get into the room, he leaps up and comes across the room to greet, as he did with me last night, or this evening. And it's really very impressive. The impression from the gym show was one, again, of total control. The audience was, the hall was packed, every seat was filled. They were filled by sections, with a big section for an army group in green uniforms, another section for an army group in blue uniforms, other sections for people in civilian clothes, a section for athletes in red sweatsuits, another for athletes in blue sweatsuits, etc. Also, they had a lighting system that enabled them to turn on sections of overhead lights for the television cameras, and as each section was lighted from time to time, the people in it would all automatically start cheering for the camera. The regimentation is enormous. The athletes themselves march in at a, with a big strut and swinging arms, stand at attention and face the premiere before they start their particular event. The level of control is almost total. After returning from the gym late this evening, we learned that Joe had decided to give a Peking duck dinner for the official party at the Great Hall of the People tomorrow night, to which the president also was invited, which creates a problem since the president was counting on tomorrow night as his one night off with no event and no dinner. But he'll undoubtedly have to accept. There's no real way to get around it. One building issue is a problem with Rogers. He called me today to say that he was concerned about the news reports as they were building at home, which pointed out that he wasn't involved in any of the important meetings and was being kept out of things. He was obviously uptight about being left out of the meeting with Mao on Monday and made the point that if there's any other meeting with Mao, he wants to be sure that he is included. He also was carping about the fact that Henry had two NSC people in the Joe meetings with the president while there were no State Department people there, and he didn't see why Marshall Green or someone like that couldn't be the note taker instead of Henry's people. Later today, Henry charged in furious because he learned that Rogers had raised directly with the foreign minister the question of their participating in writing the communique, and the foreign minister had said no, that Prime Minister Cho had assigned that to Dr. Kissinger and Mr. Chow. So put Rogers in a rather embarrassing position. This is a problem that's going to continue, I think. On a similar basis, Scally got me before we went to the gym and complained that his talents weren't being adequately used and that we ought to be consulting with him on press problems and that sort of thing. So we have the problem there too. End of February 23rd.